Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shir is Eruvin Daf Pei Ches. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur 6 lines from the top of Daf Pei Ches. Before we begin the actual Gemara, we glance at the side in the margin. You see a Nosei Mivne heading where we feature a topic heading and structural note. You'll notice Roman numerals 1 and 2, which correspond to the Roman numerals you find in the Gemara, at the side of the Gemara text. These represent Shnei Lishonos, two versions, Be'inyan Shvichas Mayim Derech Mechitza Tluya HaMechuberes L'Gzustra. Shvichas Mayim is the pouring out of water through a Mechitza Tluya, a suspended wall, as we saw in the Mishnah on Daf Pei Ches Omid Beis, and of course you can always refer to the diagrams that appear in the Pirush Chai that correspond to these matters. We learned in the Mishnah on Pei Zayin Omid Beis that if you have a balcony suspended over water and you have a mechitza, so you can draw water from the body, you can draw the water from below up through the suspended mechitza. Our Gemara will deal with the opposite direction, whereby you're pouring out wastewater from your home into the body of water below. So our Gemara begins. Omar Rabo bar Rav Huna loy shanu elo lemalois. The teaching of the Mishnah that a mechitza tluya, a suspended fence or a suspended wall, creating a reshus hayochid, creating a private domain which enabled the drawing of the water, that is only as far as one direction is concerned, drawing up from below. However, pouring out, that is aval lishpoch osur, as the Gemara says, pouring out water is not allowed. And the reason for that is, Rashi explains, is that when you pour the water down from your home into the river below, so the river carries the water immediately away from underneath the suspended wall. So it's as if you are pouring it out beyond the suspended wall. And as we've learned in previous shurim, the idea of the suspended wall creates a reshus hayochid down to till the water. But to pour water beyond that would be pouring from where you are, the reshus hayochid, the private domain, into a karmelis, into a non-private domain. And hence, since the water carries, the river flow carries the water that I would be pouring out down to that point immediately from away from under the mechitza, it's therefore not allowed. Maskif lo Rav Shizvi, v'chima bein ze le'uka. What is the difference between this, the case of pouring down through the suspended wall, and the case of the uka? Now, we haven't learned about uka yet. That really is the topic featured in the next Mishnah on the lower part of this Omid of Gemara. As you can see on the first wide line of the Gemara, as it juts out, you see the word uka. However, being that the Gemara takes for granted that we're familiar with the Mishnah, and properly so, one should really know the Mishnayos before he learns Gemara. So we will take advantage of the illustrations in the Pirush Chai, page 189, illustration 104. What you see is a courtyard, and you see a pit that's dug into the courtyard, and that pit is designed for a person to pour out his waste water on Shabbos into that pit. The pit is basically designed to be a source of absorption, where the water you pour out eventually gets absorbed into the ground, and that's how you do away with your wastewater. Rashi elaborates importantly because we haven't learned about the topic of Uko yet. So let's take a look at the Rashi. On the upper part of the narrow lines, Ma Bein Zeh LeUko, Disnan B'Mas Nisan, we will be taught in the upcoming Mishnah, Chotzer She Pechusa Me'arba Amos, a chotzer, a courtyard that is less than 4 Amos square, Ein Shofchin L'Soicho Mayim. When we say 4 Amos, by the way, it means 4 Amos by 4 Amos, which, or it could mean a total of 16 square Amos. That's something that will be dealt with later by the Gemara, but we'll speak about 4 Amos square for right now. So you're not allowed to pour onto the floor of such a courtyard, Elohim Kane Osulo Uka, unless you made an Uka. What is that? Guma, a pit. Machzekis Sosayim, that pit is designed to hold 2 sa'ah. Sa'ah is a quantity, 2 sa'ah quantity of water. V'toni alo, afopi shenismala ha'uka, what is of relevance to us is that which is taught later concerning the case of the pit that's in the chotzer. And it's taught as follows, that even if that pit happens to be filled from Friday, it's filled with water on Friday, that's miba'od yom, shoifchen lo mayim b'shabbos, you can nevertheless still, you're allowed to pour water into that pit. V'yafalpi shamayim yoytzen heimeno l'rishus harabim, even though the water that I'm pouring in is eventually going to flow into the rishus harabim. So you see, in the case of Uka, a leniency, where pouring is allowed, even though the water is going to go beyond the confines of the chotzer, and yet we allow that, and when it comes to our suspended mechitza, Rabo ba Rav Huna just said, you cannot pour water out through the suspended mechitza, because the water of the river flow is going to carry the water beyond to a realm beyond my Rishus HaYochid. Why the difference? The Gemara answers. And we continue now in the Gemara. Hani taimi vahani lo taimi. The expression taimi means is finished, like the word tam, completed. Now what do we mean? So Rashi explains, Hosam taimi maya, hamayim asuyin l'chalos uvoa b'karka. In the case of the pit is designed that the water should be absorbed into the ground. In other words, in theory, the water shouldn't really be leaving the courtyard. Hilkoch ki shofech, therefore when you pour, adaito delivlu b'duchtayu ko shofech. Your primary intention is for the water to be absorbed in that spot. V'i nafkit labar, and if it happens to flow beyond outside, la machshavoso lahochihu. That's not his intention. V'lo niskaim machshavoso, and when the water does flow beyond the pit, it's not a fulfillment of his intent. V'shari, and therefore it's allowed. Da'filu ichven, even if you did have intent for it to flow beyond the pit, isur mamish leko dehobishus hayochid shofech. There isn't an actual prohibition being violated because you're pouring it into a private domain. That's okay, and if it flows beyond that, so be it. So we see, in the case of the pit, the initial design is for it to be absorbed in that spot. I know we mentioned the case of the filled pit, but that is a contingency situation. In other words, that's not what it's designed for. And in such a case where it happens to flow beyond, that really wasn't your intent. Aval Hocha, Rashi goes on, here in the case of the Gezustra, the platform, the suspended platform with the Mechitza Tluya, made the idea, you know, at the outset, the Vade Nafki, Velo Taimi, it's definitely going to flow beyond the suspended Mechitza, and it's not going to be absorbed into anything. Therefore, making the case of the Mechitza Tluya worse, more severe. We continue in the Gemara. Omar Rav Shizvi. Oh, let us correct ourselves. Iko Diamri, a second version. Omar Rabo Bar Rav Huna. Lo temo lemalos hu deshori lishboch oser. Don't say that the Mishnah's halacha on Pei Zayin Rebeis was simply to draw up the water, but to pour out would be forbidden. Don't say that. Elo lishboch namishori. but pouring out is also allowed. Rashi says, "Afiu lishpoch ramishori." Rashi explains, "The ihu lo ichbas le delifgu levroi." He doesn't care that the water flows beyond. Avol chotzer hapchusa me'arba amos nicholai delepok lebar shelo yelachlich es chatzero. In the case of the chotzer that's less than 4 amos square, you are interested in the water going outside, that the chotzer shouldn't become soiled. Hilkoch boy uka, therefore there is an uka requirement. In the case of the uka, so he's satisfied that it gets absorbed into that pit. So let's continue in the Gemara. Rabba in this version is telling us the opposite of what he said in the previous version. Here he's telling you that one is allowed to pour out the wastewater through the suspended mechitza. Omer Rav Shizvi, Pshita, Hainu Uka. So Rav Shizvi says, what Rabba Bar Rav Huna is telling me is this is obvious. It's the same as the case of Uka. And we saw in the case of the Uka that even if the Uka is filled to the top from Friday and it's not going to be absorbed, it's still allowed. So just like the Mishnah's case of Uka is allowed even though the water is going to flow beyond the Chotzer, so too in the case of the suspended Mechitza, the water is going to flow by virtue of the river's current beyond your suspended Mechitza, beyond the Rishus HaYochid. So if the Mishnah already sanctioned that, what do I need Rabo Barav Huna for? The Gemara answers, Mahu Detemo. I might have thought, Hani Taimi Vahani Lo Taimi. As we explained in the first version, the case of the Uka, it's designed to get absorbed in that spot. And therefore, knowing the case of Uka isn't necessarily going to allow me to conclude the same leniency with regard to the Gzustra. Komash Malon, therefore I need Rabo Barav Huna to tell me that in the case of the Gzustra on the river below, it's also allowed. V'chein shtei gzustros zu v'chulei, and the Mishnah went on to say that shtehen asuros, and that was in the case of two suspended platforms. One was higher than the other, and we had diagrams for this. You could see that in diagram 41 in the Pirush Chai. That's a few pages earlier, and the Mishnah spoke about having made a mechitza for the Eliona, for the upper one, and not for the lower one. Both are usur until they make an eruv. In other words, there can be no drawing of water. And of course, that's because the two domains, the lower domain is sort of encroaches, so to speak, on the upper domain, and therefore you have two domains without an eruv, one domain restricts the other. Omar Rav Huna, Omar Rav, Loi Shanu Ela Besmucha. The teaching of Shtehen Asuros of the Mishnah is true only if the lower domain, the lower platform, is near smucha, near next to the upper one. You can see again diagram 41 that illustrates this. Avol b'mufleges, if there is a distance of more than 4 handbreadths, 4 tfachim, between the two platforms, elyona muteres, the upper one is allowed to draw water. In other words, once you distance them one from the other, so then the influence of the lower platform on the upper one is no longer. V'rav litame. Rav, in ruling thusly, is consistent with what he says elsewhere, the Omar Rav, Ein Odom Oser Al Chavero Derech Avir, that one does not impose restriction on the other if his access is through the air. In other words, if you have a distance of more than 4 tfachim, one from the other, the only access would be if, let's say, the lower platform would toss through the air a pail to the upper platform through the hole and the suspended mechitza. That's called access derech avir, and that does not, according to Rav, does not impose any restrictions, so that the upper platform in such a case is considered isolated and therefore allowed in use. We continue in the Gemara. Omar Rabo, Omar Rabchia, V'Rav Yosef, Omar Rabboshaya. Now, we're going to have an expression that is very vague upon initial reading. Therefore, we need to wait for upcoming explanation. Their teaching says, Yesh gezel b'shabes v'churba machzir l'baylim. The literal translation is almost of no value, but for those who are translation enthusiasts, it says there is theft on Shabbos, and a ruin returns to its owner. Now, let's take a look at the Rashi to make a little bit of headway. In the lower part of the narrow lines, Rashi says, Yesh gezel b'Shabbos v'churba machzir l'baylim, hashta salka daitoch. At this point, there is thinking that it means dehochi komar, that thusly it is saying mutter ligzol b'Shabbos reshuyos, that on Shabbos it's mutter to take someone else's domain for your own purposes. Ulishtamish ba b'churbaso shel chaveru hasmuchalo. Let's say you have two houses, and between the two houses you have ruins, so that I can use the ruin closer to your house. Kihechi derogil bo b'chol, just like during the weekdays, I use that ruin. Hoyol ustam churba ein habaylim mishtam shebo kol kach, since your standard ruin is not used so much by its owner. Koni lo hai b'gzei loso kishar gazlonim v'nasis rishuso. Therefore, since you, the real owner, don't really use it very much, I, who am located further away, my use of it enables it to be considered my domain. And that would mean that the fact that it belongs to you and I'm using it doesn't necessitate the making of an Eruv, being that I am considered the sole user of it. That's what this term Venasis Rishuso implies. So that's on the one hand. That's Yesh Gezel B'Shabbos. In simple terms, my use of your domain enables it to be considered my own. Rashi continues, V'churba machzir l'baylim, mashma, that expression, that half of their teaching expresses the following, mashma al korcho isur Shabbos machzir l'baylim, that the rules of Shabbos return it to its rightful owner. V'tzorach lachzira, and it has to be returned, v'ein knu yolo, and it's not considered owned by the other party. Alma osur lishtamish bo. This would imply, then, that I cannot use it. It's your domain, and therefore not available for my use. So now, we take a look at the Gemara. The Gemara says what we just saw in Rashi, who is, of course, more elaborate than the terse Gemara. Ha gufo kashya. The Gemara now spells out the question we saw explained by Rashi. Amris, you said on the one hand, Yesh gezel b'Shabbos. Alma, koni, that shows us that you acquire, that the non-owner acquires use of that particular domain, and which would mean that you can use it without any need for an Eruv. V'hodar, toni, and then you teach, v'churba machzir l'baylim, that the churba, the ruin, returns to the owner. Alma lo kanya. That would show that the other party who is using the ruin that's not his doesn't acquire. So how do we make sense of the teaching we just learned? The Gemara answers, Hochi ko'omar. Yesh din gezel b'Shabbos. That means that the rules of the return of theft is binding with regard to domains of Shabbos. Ketzad, and what is an illustration of this din gezel b'Shabbos? The churba machzir l'baylim, that the ruin goes back to its original owner, and therefore someone who is a non-owner of that ruin cannot use it. Omar Rabba, umoisvinen ashmaiten. Here we have a phenomenon that appears numerous times in the Shas, where you have someone teaching a particular law in the name of a tradition he received, and then as an independent thinker, challenges that very tradition. So Rabbo is saying here, and we ask upon our teaching. And that's why we have dashed underlined Rabbo here, and a few lines above you see the dashed underlined Rabbo to show how Rabbo is now confronting that very teaching that he shared before as a tradition he received. So Rabbo says, and we ask, V'chein shteg zustro zu lamalo v'chule, and it said in the Hemshech of the Mishnah that if they are smuchos zulazu, we said shtehen asuras. That's the case if they made a mechitza for the el yoina and not for the tachtona, so the lower one imposes its presence upon the upper one and restricts. Now we ask, fi amris yesh din gezel b'shabbos, if you claim as you did that there is this din gezel b'shabbos, which means if you're a non-owner, then you are not entitled to use a particular domain. Amai asuros, why does the lower platform impose any restriction on the upper one? It's the reshus, it's their domain. How then does the lower platform in diagram 41 impose any restriction on the upper one? It's when the people living off the upper gzustra, it belongs to them. Omar Rav Sheshes, Hocha B'may Askinon, the Mishnah that says that the lower platform imposes a restriction on the upper one, Kigon She'osu Mechitza B'Shutfis. That's a case where the suspended wall was made in partnership, so that the lower platform aren't exactly outsiders. They're also part owners in that platform, and the primarily the Mechitza that was the suspended Mechitza made over the water extending from that platform. The Gemara asks, "E hachi, if that's so, that the mechitza was made b'shutfis, ki asu l'tachtona nami, so the same thing should apply if a mechitza was made for the lower platform. And yet, the inference from our Mishnah is that there is an Iser when the platform, when the Mechitza was made for the Elyona and not for the Tachtona. But if the Mechitza is made b'shutfis, so even in the case of a Mechitza being made for the Tachtona, there should still be an Isur, that one domain, one group imposes their influence on the other. Why, therefore, is it implied that the only time there is restriction is if the mechitza was made for the upper platform and not for the lower one? The Gemara answers, Kevan de osu l'tachtona, in the event that a mechitza was made for the tachtona, for the lower one, galui gali daito, there is a revelation of intent, that I, the lower one, does not want to be together with you, the upper one. And that separation, in fact, is that which allows the use of each one independently without feeling the influence of the other one, and hence the otherwise need for an Eruv. The Mishnah. Before we learn the Mishnah, we glance at the topic heading on the side. The Nosei, Shvichas Mayim v'chotzer kishalulim lizrom l'rishus harabim. The issue of pouring water, wastewater, into a courtyard when there is the possibility of it flowing into a public thoroughfare. And of course, when we talk these terms, we're talking in the general topic of the Iser Hoitzah, the Iser of going from one domain on Shabbos to another domain, namely the transfer of an item, in this case the water, from one domain to another. Before continuing, though, let's also take a look at diagram 104. We alluded to this diagram earlier in today's Shiur. So you see the courtyard with a pit, which we call an Uka, and now the Mishnah. Chotzer shi p'chusa me'arba amos, a courtyard which is less than four amos square, Ein Shoifrin B'Soicha Mayim B'Shabbos. One is not allowed to pour his wastewater into that onto the floor of such a choser Elohim Kain Osu La Uga Machzekes Osayim Min Anekev Ulamata. Unless he made an uka, a pit that would hold a sosayim from the rim, from literally from the hole downwards. Bein mi bachutz, bein mi bifnim. Whether the uka is dug in the chotzer proper, that's bifnim, or mi bachutz, meaning it's dug into the public thoroughfare. Elo shem mi bachutz, however, if it's dug in the Rishus HaRabim, as you can see in the picture, there's an option of that taking place, of it being dug into the Rishus HaRabim. If that is done, Sarach likmor, then you have to cover it. And you can see that in the illustration where it's covered with boards. That type of uka is essentially called a mokum ptur. It's not the Rishus HaRabim. It's beneath the surface of the Rishus HaRabim. And therefore pouring from the chotzer into a mokum ptur, which is we'll call it a non-culpable realm, and as the term implies, mokum ptur, a place of exemption. So the Mishnah says that if you dug it mibachutz, tzorach likmor, mibifnim, the Mishnah goes on to say, ein tzorach likmor. However, the pit dug from within the chotzer does not need to be covered. And as we explained earlier, this pit is designed to absorb the wastewater and keeping it from flowing to the Rishus HaRabim. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Omer, Biv shukomur arba amos b'Rishus HaRabim shoifchen l'soichoy mayim b'Shabbos. If you look at diagram 105, you can see this idea of a biv, which is a pipe that's dug into the Rishus HaRabim, 4 amos into the Rishus HaRabim. You can pour into it on Shabbos, provided it is covered. There's a Rashi that we look at, Biv, Haritz, Ha'osu L'Kaleach Shofen Shebechotzi L'Rishus HaRabim. A Biv is a ditch designed to pour into it the wastewater of the courtyard, and it flows underneath the Rishus HaRabim. Rashi goes on to explain that if the pit or this pipe is dug 4 amos into the Rishus HaRabim, the understanding is that the 2 sa'ah of water that a person uses in general will be absorbed within those first 4 amos. Let's continue in the Gemara. V'chachomim omrim, afilu gag o chotzer meo amo. Even a roof or a courtyard that's very large, lo yishpoch al pi habiv, don't pour into the ditch. You might have a drain ditch on a roof or in a courtyard that leads into the Rishus HaRabim. You're not allowed to pour directly into that biv. Avol shofichu lagag. However, what you could do is pour onto the roof, and you can see an illustration of this in one illustration 107 on the top of page 190. So you can see there that it's illustrating the pouring of the water onto the roof proper. V'amayim yordin lebiv, and the water will then flow to the drain and eventually off the roof. So what the Chachomim, who are quite restrictive, are suggesting, we don't want you pouring directly into that means of the water being carried out. The Rashi elaborates, and we can take a look at this Rashi together, 5 lines from the bottom of the page of Rashi commentary. Lo yishpoch al pi habiv, klomar besoch achritz, not to pour into the ditch itself. Even though there is a great distance of 100 amas till it eventually leaves the roof or leaves the chotzer, and the water in the meantime could be absorbed in that ditch before it even leaves altogether. Since you would be pouring, which you're not allowed to, but if you were to pour directly into the ditch itself, miklichi lehedya ubekoach lirshus haravim, it will flow with force to the public thoroughfare. V'aroya oimer, and any onlookers will say sheshofchan somuch litziyaso. Oh boy, the lifku. Oh, the onlookers down below will say he's pouring it right near the exit point, and he wants them to go into the public thoroughfare. G'nomar b'gemara, as the Gemara says later, gzeiro shema yomru, the fear is that people might say tzinoro sheploni mekaleach mayim b'shabbos, that the pipe of so-and-so is flowing, has water flowing out into the Rishus HaRabim on Shabbos. Let us turn back to the Mishnah. Hechotzer v'achsadra mitztarfen la'arba amos. The courtyard and a nachsadra is a type of porch. It's a canopy supported by poles at the entrance of a house. They can mitztarif to form a total of the four amos, the four square amos, which if you have that in front of your house, you don't need to have an uka. So even though the chotzer itself is not four amos square, but combined with the achsadra, that's the porch, if you will, that's at the entrance to the house. And you can see there's an illustration of this in 108 on page 190 of the Pirush Chai. They are mitztarif. They join together to form the required four amos, whereby you don't need to have an uka. V'chein shtei dutos, zu keneged zu. There's an illustration of this, 109 in the Pirush Chai. You have two dutos, tall, the type of balconies off of which you have houses, and from there you can descend into a chotzer. So you have these two dutos, one opposite the other, mitzosin asu uka, mitzosin lo asu uka. Some of them prepared an uka and some did not. Es shasu uka mutarin, those that prepared the uka can pour their wastewater out. Es shalo asu uka asur, and those that didn't are restricted. Now, the Gemara. And before we get into the Gemara, let's glance at the side where we have our tat nosei. Shnei deos, two opinions, mahu hadalit amos, she'oz ye muter lishpoch l'chotzer, bali uka. We want to understand this measure of dalit amos, which enables you to pour water into the courtyard without having an uka. Rabo, and you can see we've used a double underline to highlight these two opinions, Rabo here, and Rabbi Zera, you will see at the second line from the top of Omid Beis, Rabo says, Dalet al dal ros merubois mamish, means literally four by four amos. That if the chotzer has those dimensions, four by four amos square, then you have a right to pour the wastewater into the chotzer without an uka. Rabbi Zera says, shetach, a square area, sheshiru ten zayin amos bros, with 16 square amos, afilu orech v'katan. That would mean, even if it's long and narrow, if you have a chotzer that's shaped by 8 amos long by 2 amos wide, so it's rectangular, would also be acceptable. Now, the Gemara. My taima, why is it that if the chotzer is dalet amos, it's mutter to pour without an uka? Omar Rabbo, midnei she'odom osu l'stapik susai mayim b'chol yom. Rabbo explains that a person commonly uses 2 saw of water every day. Be'arba amos odom roitze l'zalfon. When you have an area measuring 4 amos, so a person will use the water for ziluf. Ziluf is to pour out to keep the dust from rising. The dirt that constitutes the chotzer floor is kept down. Then we call that ziluf. This is something that's characteristic of the summer season when there is no rain. Of course, we're talking about a region like that of Eretz Yisrael, where there's a clear split between rainy season and dry season. So during the Emois HaChama, as they are termed, a person would like to have the dust kept down, and he accomplishes that by pouring water over the courtyard. Rashi explains at the end of the Rashi commentary, we've dashed underlined this, feeling that this is a neat emphasis, but came under Roitzel is alpha, and since a person wants to accomplish this ziluf, inami shofich lehu v'nafki, even if he pours the water and it does go into the public thoroughfare, lo miskaimo machshavoso, there isn't a fulfillment of his real intent. His real intent being to keep the dust on the floor, keep it down through ziluf. So the Gemara explains, when you have a chaser of four amos, so it's characteristic to want to accomplish ziluf. Pochos midalid shovchon, less than four amos, a person isn't interested in doing ziluf. It may be a function of it being such an insignificant type of area, he doesn't really have any concern. Rashi says, Eino roi lezalef. And therefore, what happens? A person pours it out. He just gets rid of it without having any additional intention. And therefore, Idavid Ukashori, if he made a pit to absorb his two sa'ah of water, then it's okay to pour it out because it won't go to the Rishus Rabbah and it'll get absorbed in the pit, or at least it's expected or designed to get absorbed in the pit. E lo, if you don't make the uka usur, then it will be forbidden for him to pour out his wastewater, being that it will end up flowing into the Rishus Harabim. And as we said earlier, and maybe it's obvious to everyone, but there's a prohibition of carrying things or transferring items from one domain to another, from the Rishus HaYochid to a Rishus Harabim. Rabbi Zeiro Omar, Dalin Amos Taimi. When you're dealing with four Amos, the measure of four Amos that was mentioned is because that is an area in which, if you have a surface area of four Amos, so the two saw of water will get absorbed. Pochos midal Amos lo Taimi. Less than that, they won't get absorbed. My binayu, and what's before we go on, and therefore, if you have less than four Amos of surface of floor area, you're going to need to make an uka. My binai, what is the difference between Rabo and Rabbi Zera? Omar Abaye, Orech v'Kotin Iko Binayu. Long and narrow would be a point of difference. So that you have 16 square amos of a floor area, though. So Rashi explains that something like that is sufficient for absorption. So according to Rabbi Zeiro, that would also be okay, and you don't need to make an uka. However, as far as ziluf is concerned, something that's long and narrow is not roi leziluf. People don't do ziluf to that. Only if it's 4x4, a square area, will people do ziluf. And therefore, according to Rabbah, even if it's got 16 square amos, but it's long and narrow, you're not allowed to pour the water unless you make an uka. As we go on in the Gemara, we're going to evaluate these opinions, and that's why we have triangles, and you'll notice that the triangles appear in two different directions. The first one with the point facing up is for the benefit of Rabbi Zera. As the Gemara will say, Bishlam ala Rabbi Zera. The inverted triangle that you see a few lines after that will be a source that will be beneficial to Rabbah and a problem for Rabbi Zera. This is what we've indicated under our Mivneh heading on the side. The Gemara, Tanan, Chotzer v'achsadro mitstarfin ledaled amos, to exempt, as we learned in the Mishnah, to exempt a need for an uka. Now there is an assumption that one must make, and Rashi highlights this, that the achsadra that's in the that's off the chotzer is positioned at an angle to the chotzer, and you can see this illustrated in illustration 111 at the bottom of page 190 in the Pirush Chai. So, The Mishnah says if you have an arrangement, that's an aerial view, by the way, you're looking from above. If you have a chotzer with an achsadra in that shape, it's okay, no need for an uka. Now, what kind of tziruf, what kind of joining together do you have over there? Well, you'll have a total of 16 square amos if you make all the calculations, even though it's not a square area. So, Bishlamo le Rabbi Zeira, the Gemara says, Nicha, this works well for Rabbi Zeira, where there's no hakpoda, there's no insistence on the Mishnah's part to have it literally 4 by 4, a square area. Elo le Rabbo, but according to Rabbo that said that you're going to need an uka as long as it's not a square area, kasha, then the din of the achsadra being mitztaref to the chotzer presents a problem, because this is not roi lezilof, and yet you don't need to have, you still don't need to have an uka. Tirgama Rabbi Zeira Aliba Rabbi, and here you have a marvelous phenomenon that happens numerous times throughout the Shas, where the opponent actually comes to the defense of his opponent who was under fire. So that even though things worked out well for Rabbi Zeira, Rabbi Zeira comes out in defense of Rabbo by explaining that the source could be explained according to Rabbo, Achsadra mehaleches al pnei kol echotzer kula. And there is an illustration that shows this in illustration 108, where the Achsadra is actually parallel to the chotzer, that creating, as you can see in the illustration 108, an area 4 by 4, which is suitable for ziluf. Toshma, we bring another source. Now the inverted triangle shows you ahead of time that this will be for the benefit of Rabbo and a problem for Rabbi Zeira. Chotzer she'ein bo dalet amos al dalet amos. A chotzer that lacks this measure of 4 amos by 4 amos, ein shofchin l'socho mayim b'shabbos. Then you're not allowed to pour your wastewater onto such a floor. Bishlamo l'rabo nicha. This source is well, is nicha, is beneficial for Rabbo, because this source describes something that's literally 4 by 4. El Rabbi Zeira Kasha, but according to Rabbi Zeira, whose interest is only in square area, which is all that matters for the absorption of the water, this source is a problem. Omar Loch Rabbi Zeira, Rabbi Zeira will answer, Ha, money rabbanhi. This source that is insistent on having something 4 by 4 square is according to the Rabbanan, Umas Nisen. And the Resha of our Mishnah is Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov. There is a Machlokes Tanoim. And according to Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov, it's enough that you have an area suitable for absorption of water, even if it's not a literal 4 by 4 Amos. So according to Rebbe Zeira, our Mishnah that speaks about a Chotzer that is 4 amos is according to Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov. And as you noticed in the Mishnah on Omen Aleph, it just said Pchusa me'arba amos. It didn't say arba amos al arba amos. We continue in the Gemara. Umay dochake de Rebbe Zeira le'ukma le'masnisen k'Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov. What pushed Rebbe Zeira into setting up Lukmos, to set up the Mishnah like Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov? Before we go further, there is benefit for us to learn the Rashi that said, Ho moni rabbonon hi. This was Rebbe Zeira's answer as far as the source that was quoted against him. He deflected the question by saying that source is according to the Rabbonan that happened to have this 4 by 4 square restriction. And Rabbi Zeira is saying that when I said my pshat before about absorption, was not saying it within the opinion of the Rabbanan, but rather according to our Mishnah, which is Rebozim and Yaakov. So now Rashi says, "Homani Rabbanan he delo shorule mishum shiur mokum blias hamayim." The Rabbanan are not interested in an area that's suitable for water absorption. Kedisna b'masnisin, as the Rabbanan in our Mishnah say, "Afilu bivmeo amo lo yishpoch lisocho elo al hagag o al hachotzer." Even if the beef, the drain, was 100 amas long, and it's, again, we're not talking about some type of metallic drain that won't absorb, but it's a drain made of, that's simply a ditch carved into the absorption, the surrounding absorption material, and 100 amas long will be certainly enough room for absorption to take place, and yet the Rabbonin and the Mishnah said, don't pour directly into it. Almo taimaditu, therefore the Rabbanan's explanation is mishum zilufu. They are interested in the ziluf consideration, the gabi biv, megali daiti de koshofich, the lav bar zilufu. And in the case of a biv, a ditch is not something that one practices ziluf on anyway. And therefore, when it comes to a ditch, since absorption is not their consideration in the first place, and the ditch is not a place for ziluf, so they say you'd have to pour the water outside of the ditch. The ratio de masnisin, Rashi goes on to say, Rebelozer ben Yankiv he, Omar taimo mishum shiur mokum lebliyo kinesnan. The ratio teaches, biv shuhu komur dalet amos, that a biv that is covered by four amos is sufficient for allowing the pouring of the wastewater. Because their concern was absorption, as opposed to the Rabbonon. Okay, we now go back to the Gemara. The Gemara had asked, what did Rabbi Zero see in, what did he see, what forced him to set up the Mishnah like Rabbi Elozer ben Yankiv? Omar Rava, Rava explains, Masnisen Chisei, the Mishnah itself posed a difficulty that is solved only this way, by saying that the ratio is according to Rabbi Elozer ben Yankiv. My, and what's the difficulty? My yuriyodetoni chotzer shihi pusa. The what motivated the Mishnah to teach thusly, a chotzer that's less than four amos, which is mashma that the deficiency, which requires the ukah, the deficiency is that it's lacking a dimension, regardless of whether it's square or rectangular. If the Mishnah was according to the Rabbanan, who aren't concerned with absorption, listening, it could have said, Chotzer she'ein bo dalet amos al dalet amos. It would have spelled it out like that, but it didn't say that. Elolav shmamino, the Rebbe Elozer ben Yankiv he shmamino. So, from the fact that the Mishnah was phrased as it is, simply pusa midalid, without spelling out dalid al dalid, four by four, it shows us that the Mishnah is in accordance with Rebbe Elozer ben Yankiv. The Gemara asks, v'ha midas seifo Rebbe Elozer ben Yankiv, reisha lav Rebbe Elozer ben Yankiv. Use the arrow that affords you, or that backs you up to Omid Aleph, and you notice the parallel out back on Peches Omid Aleph, that tells you to look at Omid Beis. You can see on the third wide line of the text of the it happens to be in the Mishnah, the third wide line on the page, you can see Rebbe Elozer ben Yankiv's name appears. So he is the speaker there, indicating he's not the speaker at the opening of the Mishnah. And yet Rabbi Zera says that the opening of the Mishnah is Rebbe Elozer ben Yankiv, but he appears for the first time only later into the Mishnah, as we see on the third wide line back there on Omid Aleph. So the Gemara answers, no, kulo Rebbe Elozer ben Yankiv he, the entire Mishnah from the beginning till that point is all Rebbe Elozer ben Yankiv. The Chisurei Mechasra v'Hochiktoni, and the Mishnah is terse, is missing words in the sense of it's deliberately left terse, but its true meaning is v'hochi kotani is as follows, as it is taught in the following. So what we do in our Gemara markings is we use a frame around of the explanations of the Mishnah, even if it's not the actual Mishnah, but this is what the Mishnah is trying to convey. So we treat it as if it's the Mishnah with a frame. What does it say? Chotzer shehi p'husa mi arba amos. Ein shofchin l'socho mayim Shabbos. You're not allowed to pour onto the floor of a small chotzer the wastewater on Shabbos. Ha dalet amos shofchin. But if it's 4 amos, then you can. Share Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Omer. Notice we dashed underline this, the Shin Reish. This shows us that the appearance Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov later in the Mishnah is really a continuation of the beginning. Share Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Omer, for it is he that teaches. Biv Hakomor Dalet Amos Rishus Rabim. If you have a ditch dug out under the public thoroughfare, but it's covered. Shofin l'socho mayim b'shabbos. You can pour water into such a ditch because it will be absorbed within 4 amos. So you don't have any Shabbos violation. Once again, his concern is the issue of absorption, thereby showing us that you don't need to have it 4 by 4. As long as you have a square area of 16 amos, the wastewater will get absorbed. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Omer, Biv HaKomor, Masnisin Deloke Chananya. The Mishnah that said pour onto the roof is not like Chananya. Desanya Chananya Omer, Afilu Gag, Meo Amolo Yishboch. A roof, even if it's very large, it measures 100 amas square, you can't pour onto it the wastewater. Roofs don't absorb, they are not, obviously they're not designed to absorb, rather, but to enable whatever liquids fall onto it, to flow off of them. So Chananya is more restrictive than anything we have seen so far. Tono, Bamed Vomamurim, when is it that you need an uka? Bimois Achamo, during the summer season. That, again, the whole need for the uka was this very small type courtyard. And even then, it applies only to the summer season. Avol Bimois Achshomim, Shoifech, Veshone, Vieno, Nimna. You can pour, and Shona means and pour more, and you don't have to restrict yourself. So, what in effect is happening? You granted it's the rainy season, but you're not making an uka, and you're pouring to this very narrow, very squalid type chotzer. It's almost as if you're pouring the water into the Rishus HaRabim. Granted, you're not pouring it directly there, but you're pouring onto the floor. It's going to flow right into the Rishus HaRabim. Why is that not a problem? So my taimo, Omar Rova, Odom Roitze Shivlu Mayim Bemakomon. A person really wants the water to be absorbed where they are poured. In other words, he's not interested in the water going out to the Rishus HaRabim. Rashi in the narrow lines, toward the end of the narrow lines, Rashi says Shivlu Bemakomon. He's not interested in it going out. It's the rainy season, and his courtyard is muddy anyway because of the natural falling rain water. So by his pouring the wastewater into his chotzer, he's not making it any worse than it is anyhow. So he's not interested in the water going out to the Rishus HaRabim. And that's what makes this allowed. The Gemara continues. Omer le Abaye, v'hare shoifchin, de odom roitze shivlu, v'kotoni lo yishboich. Before we can go further, we want to take note of a couple things. First of all, we have a little star to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, telling you to look back at Omer Aleph. So let's go back to Omid Aleph. We see that the lower part of the page, the Chachomim said, Afilu Gag, O Chotzime Amo Lo Yishpoch Al Pi Habiv. Now, we also want to take a look at the Rashi. The Rashi, you could see on the first wide line, Amalei Abaye Barei Shofen, Hanishpochen Lo Lebiv Oroch Meo Amo. A person has wastewater, and he has a ditch on his roof, very long, 100 amas long. Sheshbo Shirli Bolavo. There's enough room for it to get absorbed. The Ko'omru Rabbonon b'masnisin, and the Rabbonon nevertheless said, Lo Yishpoch, don't pour into that ditch. Rashi continues, he says, Lahanoch de biv kori shofchin stamo, when you're dealing with a biv, the term shofchin is used. The stam means the unqualified shofchin, waste water. Lahanoch de chotzer kori mayim. And when it comes to a courtyard, so we use the term mayim lefi shepa'omim hu mezalfon, because when you have the courtyard, sometimes he has an additional purpose in mind, and that is for the ziluf. But what we have to do is we have to focus on what we have learned. On the one hand, we have this source that says during the Moisak Shomim, if you have a small area, you can pour into it. Why? Because a person has no real concern that it goes out to the Rishus Rabim. His courtyard is messy anyway, so he's happy if it stays where it is. Well, in the Mishnah, we had a case of Shofchin, where you have a very long ditch. So as far as he is concerned, it could very well get absorbed right there. And yet, the Mishnah teaches Lo Yishpoch. So what we've done with our markings, we dashed underline Lo Yishpoch in contrast with what we had just two lines above, Yemoisek Shomim Shoyfe Peshona. In both cases, we're dealing with this concept of Odom Roitze Sheyivlu, which means that a person is just as happy if it stays where it is, either in the rainy season Chotzer or in the very long ditch. And yet in the Tanaic source, it says you're allowed to pour. And in the Mishnah, it had taught Lo Yishpoich. Omar Le. So, Rova answers, Hossam, in the case of Yemois HaKshomim, in the case of the Tanaic source we had just a couple lines up, Lemai Nechush. What Lemai Nechush Lo? What could possibly concern somebody? What could be a problem? In other words, what could be a problem will show that it's not a problem. If you might say, well, he doesn't want his chotzer to get ruined, it's messy anyway because of the rain that falls. We're talking about the rainy season. So he doesn't have any interest in the water dafka specifically leaving his chotzer. And if you're afraid that people will say that so-and-so's pipe has water flowing out, and it creates the impression that he's pouring water into the public thoroughfare, stam tsinoros mikalchin heim. Pipes are flowing anyway with water, even without his pouring the water. Let us take a look at Rashi, the third wide line under the Gemara. Imishum shelo yomru. If your fear might be what people will say, v'osi lemevad b'mois hachamo, and they'll come to do the same thing during the summer season, which would be a problem. Inami osi lemeimar, or people might come to say shori lizrok behedyol rishus harabim, that one is allowed to pour or throw things directly to rishus harabim. Demali tzinor or mali brishus rabbi mamish, hainami lohochi miskaven. What difference does it make whether you pour throw directly to Rishus Rabbim, or you pour into a pipe that leads to Rishus Rabbim? Is he not doing so with that intent that the water should end up in the Rishus Rabbim? Well, leha lekol mechash, regarding all of that, that which we just said, that which we see in the singular quotation marks in the Rashi, all of that, you don't have to worry about. Because once you establish that you are talking about the rainy season, as opposed to the case of the pipe during the summer season, there's nothing to worry about. The stamtzinos b'moshak shomim mekalchen hein. Your standard pipes during the rainy season are flowing with water anyway. The Omru and the public, they'll say, make a shomim, that's rainwater that's flowing out. It's not that the owner is pouring water out. Avol gabi biv bimois hachamo. But regarding the case of the biv, the drain ditch that we saw before on one's roof or in one's chotzer, that's in the summer season. Afagav di yesh bo shiur, even though it's quite enough for the water to get absorbed. Fialdom roitza shivlu bimakomun, a person would be very happy for it to be absorbed in that spot. Iko lemechash, there still is room for the shema yomru, what people might say. Let us now turn back to the Gemara. Omar Rav Nachman, b'mois hakshomim, when it comes to the summer, when it comes to the winter season, uko machzik sosayim noisim lo sosayim, a ditch that holds two saw, so you are allowed to pour two saw of water into it. Machzik saw, nosim lo saw. If it holds one saw, then you pour into it only one saw. There's a very important note that Tosfos makes here. Tosfos says that machzik sosayim nosim lo sosayim lav dafka doesn't mean literally two saw and that's it. El afilu kurayim, even two quarts, much more. The lav hochi ein chiluk bein sosayim l'saw. If you don't say thusly, so there's no difference between these two points of two saw versus one saw. It's the same ratio. But so therefore, Tosfos points out that when it says here, machzik sosayim, you pour into two saw, it means it could mean even much more. B'mois hachamo, when it comes to the summer season, machzik sosayim noisim lo sosayim, if the uka holds two saw, you can pour two saw into it. Se'or ain noisim lo kol ikar, if it holds only one saw, you can't pour any amount into it. The Gemara asks, b'mois hachamo nami machzik saw nesiv le se'or, during the summer season, why is it that if it holds a saw, can I not put in a saw of water? In other words, nesiv lo saw, be allowed to put a saw. Just like in the Yemois HaKshomim, you said that if it holds a saw, you can put a saw. Why not say the same thing in the summer? The Gemara answered, Gzeiro dilmo osi litein le sosayim. We're afraid that if we allow you to put a saw, you might put twice that amount. And of course, that would be a problem. The water will run right into the Rishus HaRabim. The Gemara asks, Sihachi b'mois hagshomim nami ligzor. So then in the winter season, we should also make a restriction, impose a restriction, not to place in an uka, size of saw, a saw of water. And yet we said, just a couple lines above, that machzik saw, noisim lo saw. Why do you make that allowance? The Gemara answers, well, when it comes to the rainy season, we can be lenient. Hosam mai nechushla. There, in the case of the rainy season, what's there to worry about anyway? In other words, let's take into consideration the worst case scenario, that I will put two saw. E mishum kilkul, if there is the problem of kilkul. Kilkul is the dirty courtyard. Let us look at the Rashi that you'll see about 8 lines up from the bottom. Hosam lamai nechush law. in the case of the rainy season, what's there to worry about? Inami osi lemesav sosayim. Even if he were to put into the one uka, the one sa'ah uka, he'll put two saw of water. Lo ichbaslon. It doesn't bother us. Doha hu gufei. He himself lo yolif mino churba. He's not going to learn from this a mistake. Lemeimar, to come to say ki hechi d'shori leilishbok bukazu kedei lotseis lechutz hochi nami shori lemishdinu lavroi, that just like we're allowing you to put into this uka enough to go outside, so too it's mutter to pour directly outside. Daha lo mekaimo machshavaso, because this isn't going to be a fulfillment of his intent. Velo nicha le the leif gumaya, he isn't of any, he doesn't care that the water goes out. Daha chatzeru mekalkul lo mekaimo, his chatzer is muddy anyway during the rainy season. So we go back to the Gemara. As we said, in the case of the rainy season, if we allow him to pour one saw into an uka that's a saw, and you're afraid he might come to pour two saw into that uka, there's nothing to worry about. As far as imishum kilkul, which we read already, homikalkul of a kaima, his chotzer is dirty anyway. So that this isn't going to motivate him to want to pour the water outside of his chotzer so as to keep his chotzer from becoming muddy. It's muddy anyway. We continue. E mishum gzeiro shemo yomru, if there's the fear that people might come to say tzinoroi shel ployni mekaleach mayim, that the pipe of so-and-so has water flowing out, and people will come to think that it's mutter to pour water into the Rishus HaRabim. Stansinos Mekalchenhein, it's the rainy season. Pipes are flowing out with water anyway from the rain. Omar Abaye. Hilkoch, afilu kur vafilu kurayim. Therefore, we are allowing, we will allow in the rainy season, the Tana above that said, he allows even a kur. A kur, one kur is 30 sa'ah. Kuraim is two kur, is allowed during the rainy season. Before we continue in the Gemara, we have a Nosei Mivne heading on the side. We feature a double underline, and we'll see Shnei Lishonos be-Rova, two versions of Rova, Lahasbir, Hodikotoni, Didyuta, Shalosa Uka, Neseres, Milishbroch Memov, Leuka, Sheosta, Chavero, regarding the two neighboring balconies with apartments off of them that we saw in diagram 109. And we said there, we learned in the Mishnah, that if one diuta made an uka, so the other diuta cannot use it. Two versions as far as this is concerned. So now the Gemara. V'chein shtei diutois zu keneged zu, omar rova, afilu irvo. Let us take a look at Rashi. Four lines from the bottom. Vafilu irvu, shteho alios, these two balconies made an eruv, the leko lemechash, that there is no longer any reason to worry about the following, even though, now you can see in the Rashi we have a long section that's bounded by singular quotation marks. So if you, in your mind's eye, just were to skip that for a second, you would be reading the Rashi as we did, that shtei halios, even afilu irvu shtei halios, the leko lemechash, that there isn't what to be concerned about the following. Now skip. Afilu hachi osri. Can we skip to the end of the Rashi? We're saying, even so, even though there isn't this leko, this reason to be concerned, we nevertheless do restrict. So now, what is there to have been concerned with, and what is there to, let's say, to not have been concerned with, and we're still restrictive. So let's read the Rashi again. V'afilu irvu shtei halios deleko lemechasha, having made an eruv, so you don't have to worry. E shori lahu lahani al yedei uka dehanoch, if you allow these people to use the other's uka, osi lafuke moni min habotim ulaharidan lachotzer behedya, they'll come to take their house vessels and put them directly into the courtyard. Ad svas ha'uka beraglam, carry the vessels till the edge of the uka by foot. V'kometaltel bechotzer deloma arev, and they'll end up having carried in a chotzer without an eruv. Well, you don't have to worry about that in the case that they made an eruv. Afilu hachi oser, even so, even though this otherwise fear doesn't exist because of the Eruv, we still are restrictive. So now let's go back to the Gemara. Omar Rava, Afilu Irvu, the prohibition of one Diuta using the other Diuta's Uka is a prohibition even in the event that there is an Eruv. Omar Abaye, my Taima, why is that? Ilemo Mishum Dinafisha Maya, if it is because you're worried about now there being twice as much water. There be four sa'a instead of two sa'a. V'hotanya, but we have learned the following. Achasli uka v'achasli gistera brecha v'areva. Afal pi shenismalu mayim me'erev Shabbos. Shoifchin l'sochon mayim b'Shabbos. Whether it be an uka or a gistera, Rashi says this is a broken earthenware vessel, and it's sometimes placed to hold water, or a brecha is a type of pool, which is a wide ditch, and areva is a small type of boat. In any of these cases, even if they are full of water from Erev Shabbos, you're allowed to pour water into them on Shabbos, and naturally the water is going to overflow and it will run into the Rishus HaRabim. Doesn't seem to bother us. So the fact that you have only one uka and there are two dwellings that might end up using it, that isn't going to, that shouldn't be a problem. Elo I itmar hochi itmar Omar Rava. So we have to restate Rava. The Mishnah had taught that when you have these two diutos, and only one made an uka, the other one cannot use the uka. So Rava says, lo shanu elo shaloi irvu. The restriction is only in the case that they did not make an eruv. Aval irvu mutoren. If they made an eruv, then it's mutter for the other diuta to use the uka that the first diuta had made. V'chilo irvu maitaim alo, and in the event that they didn't make an eruv, so why can't they pour water? Why can the other diuta not? Why is it they cannot pour water into the diuta that the first diuta had, into the uka that the first diuta had made? Omar Ravashi, gzeiro dilma osi lafuki imoni debatim lohasim. We're afraid that they might carry vessels from their house full of water to the edge of the uka and pour into the uka. But the problem being the vessels that had that they had carried from their houses into the chotzer in the event that no eruv was made, and of course then it is prohibited. As you can see, this is the end of the eighth perek of Eruvin. And before we conclude, we just want to remind that if you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.